It stands for pastor, because that's what a pastor does. A pastor is a shepherd. He is one that cares for you. That's why I care more for you about what you're receiving from God's word than how much money you're getting. I don't care if you ain't got no money, because money is not what makes me have an affinity with you. Some churches you can go to, they won't even allow counsel to you unless they check your tithes amount. How much have you been tithing and giving? And then we'll spend some time talking with you. I don't care if you ain't got no money. I'm saying, are you going to follow this shepherd of the sheep? Today's church has not given themselves over to godly pastors who live in order to protect God's people. Today's church has given itself over to fake people. And you know what? When you give yourself over to a fake person, then you become a fake. Because all you're going to hear is fakery out of him. No Holy Spirit. Let me go back to my illustration. If you went to Trinity Baptist and heard the female preacher preaching, and she's giving you things right out of the Bible, and you bobbing your head up and down and saying, "That's right. That's right. Oh, praise God. Listen to her. She's telling me the truth. Amen. God can use a woman to preach." What? Just because she's telling you what God said does not mean that she is God's agent. That could be a devil person. The devils believe God and tremble. Now here you are saying, "Well, see, now Trinity is a good church." No, Trinity is an apostate church if that was a female preacher preaching. And the pastor is an apostate pastor that's opened up his pulpit to it. And the Christians in the churches stand up and say that. What is she doing there? And you see it all around in all of our communities, especially on Mother's Day. You got a female preacher up there in every denomination right across the board. Well, that church has become apostate. And the pastor is a compromiser. Listen, is there any way to know the genuine from that which is false? That is what he said in verse 2. "But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." Now, it is up to us to discover which one is the real shepherd that is guarding and protecting the sheep. Which one is the real chief shepherd that is giving the under-shepherd the word? See, and we get it a little twisted because now what we're trying... Wait a minute. I got Tony Evans with his new... Shepherd's Conference coming up. He got Ken Ulmer on the roster to preach, and he has John Jenkins from First Baptist in Melvin Jones's old church. All right, all these mega church pets. Wait a minute. You need to ask this question. Why doesn't Tony Evans ask a pastor of a 20-member congregation to speak in his pastor's conference? Why doesn't he ask him? Because he's fallen into the apostasy of much and success. He is apostate. Since he is apostate, was he ever saved? No. You have to come up with that. What did he get into ministry for? For such a time as this. I've been in ministry just as long as him. Why haven't I changed and bitten the bullet? Why? Because I know that he that preaches the truth of God will suffer the loss of everything. I want to just share with you home pastors out there, you small pastors, when you preach boldly, people are going to get up and leave your congregation. It's not you, brother. It's the word of God that they hate and despise. And when they go to the next church, they're going to take that hatred and despising of God with them there. And until they bow the knee to the word of... Oh, and then they may creep back. See, they may creep back. Because if they creep back, they were really saved in the first place. But it may take 2 or 3 years for God to kick the literal life out of them altogether until they get the point. And that's the way it is in a true biblical person's life. So my brothers that are struggling out there with small memberships, God bless you. But those of you that are thriving with thousands and thousands around you and the money is coming in and packed in, you know what the young man told me? He said that no, Jones had then tried to buy the place across the street for him for $8 million. And he also told me that Noel Jones got him a Learjet that he owns. You just give your money to a pimp and he didn't pimp you without you even using your minds. Say, you can barely come to church. No, he said, well, our pastor loves us. We came to hear church one day and we was all parked in the red zones and got tickets. And he paid for all the tickets. He's a godly man. Let me tell you something. A pimp paying for 150 tickets on one Sunday of the year and the money that he takes in, that didn't scratch the surface of his bank account. And that pimp is going to keep doing that because he know you're going to keep flocking to him. It is only powerful preaching, preachers, that will save God's people. Verse 3, it says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. There is that servant sitting at the door of the sheep. He is called the gatekeeper. That servant, Jesus uses it well in the illustration, are men, not women. Men, never a woman. Men, oh no, because see, a woman got to put her own son and daughter down. Men, because a man ain't thinking about nobody, no relation, nothing. All he's thinking about doing is slinging the sword, taking heads, blood splashing, and being cut up at the same time and saying, ooh, that hurt, but I'm going to get you back, until he takes his last breath, gnashing at the sin in you. Never a woman, a dude. And that's why I say when a woman wants to do that, she's a freak out of her nature, because she ain't ready to cut her, oh yeah, you laughing, you know it's true. She ain't ready to cut her own children down. She ain't ready to cut her own babies down. A man will deny his own children, his own wife. That's why God only called a man to preach, because a man has the guts enough to do it and weep with his dead children and wife right next to him and says, for the Lord I live and everybody is dead around me. This is the word of the Lord. That is why God called men as gatekeepers for the church. And that's why you have, in most cases, when men have become effeminized, they back up and compromise. Oh, praise God. I feel the strength of God rushing through me as he did the day he called me, because that's the kind of man he calls and will only call to guard and gate and to keep the church of God. And the reason that the church has failed and fallen, because men have become feminized and they have no idea what a man like me looks like. So they say, fool, you got to be crazy. Ain't nobody going to follow nobody like you. Right. They supposed to be following me as the gatekeeper that leads them to the great shepherd of the sheep. I'm not the shepherd. Don't get it twisted. And if the gatekeeper is this bold, how bold do you think the shepherd's going to be? Now, when you got the wrong kind of gatekeeper trying to lead the sheep, and the gatekeeper has compromised off, what kind of a shepherd do you think he's leading you to? An apostate shepherd. That's why Christ is messed up, because the gatekeepers are messed up. Now, let's get back to this text. Thank you, Lord. I don't know why he led me to these verses. I see now clearly, to him the doorkeeper opened. See, check this out. The senior pastor of a church opens to Jesus, the real one, because he's identified who the real Jesus is. I'm not opening up to no false Jesus. I can't open up to a false Christ. I don't know how to do that. And it says it so beautifully. And the sheep. See, and that's only after the doorkeeper opens it. And the sheep hear his voice. In other words, the voice of Christ, after the doorkeeper who's guarding the sheep, give him the voice of Christ. And then he says, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's why the pastorate is such an important role in the church today. And that's why when you got a fake one standing up in front of you, and if you don't spot that booger, you just as much as a fakery as he is. Man, my son Timothy told me this morning, he said, don't you ever stop preaching the bold word of God. He said, if I stop loving you, keep preaching it, because that is what God called you to do. I said, boy, you must be saved, because no sinner would want me to do that. I fear no one but Jesus. Why? Because I'm the gatekeeper. This is a beautiful thing. And Jesus was talking about the church today. I need to move on or I will never finish this service. All this extrapolation. What it's saying right here is that the true under shepherd is recognized by the true flock. He opens the gate for Jesus is granting him access for the care of the flock. That's the true one. Because the false one is not going to open Jesus up to you. The false shepherd is not going to have you discover who the real Christ is. He is the enemy of the church. He is an apostate. And the devil has placed him there, and he's doing a darn good job of it at the church. Because the church has these shields on. Because when you come in contact with the real Jesus, even with the shield down, you will know whether it's Christ. Because he comes at you, Bob, the same way he's always supposed to come at you. I can never be deceived. Now, why are people deceived today and leaving one church and going over here and leaving the real church and hop, skipping, and jumping? Because they won't put the shield down and let the Christ that came in them prove himself to be God. Oh, no, that's why they keep saying, well, the pastor says, you got to ask them, have you ever come in contact with the real Christ of the Bible? Today, the church has not been trained in following Christ by listening to his voice. Now, when we look at verse 3b, it gives us another reference to John chapter 10, verses 25 through 27. Just follow along with me. John chapter 10, 25 through 27. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe the words that I do in my Father's name. These bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. See what he said? He says, now, when I talk to you, and you ain't believing me, that's because you don't belong to me. Jesus said, you know what? Let's stop playing these games. And then he says, my sheep hear my voice in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In other words, he said, let's stop playing with this. Because I'm the only Jesus there is out there. And then he says in verse 28, I give eternal life to them. He ain't talking about to everybody. He said, hey, you don't hear me? You don't understand what I'm saying? I'm not giving eternal life to you. I'm only giving eternal life to those of you that hear my voice. And they shall never perish, and no one shall ever snatch them out of my hand. That's why I know. Because like when my son told me this morning, man, don't you ever stop preaching the word of God like you're doing it. I said, man, you don't have to tell me that. I'd rather die before I do that. I says, I would never go back on the calling that he called me into. He can have me in sackcloth and ashes. He could have me walking around here in camel's hair eating grasshoppers like John the Baptist. I show up on Manchester and Broadway preaching in the name of the Lord. I said, the Lord sent me here this morning. I must be in the midst of heathens. There's Victory Outreach right here. You need Jesus and stop following that 10-step program. I got one step, repent ye of your sins. Probably get mugged on the corner. Jesus says in verse 29, my Father who has given them to me. See what I'm talking about? Jesus says, I know them and they know me because God gave them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Once you become a Christian, you will be a Christian your whole life. Now, if you think that anything or anybody can snatch you out of God's hand, there is a good indication that you have never been saved. You got to believe the word of the Lord. Look at verse 37 in John chapter 10. Verse 37 says, and if I do the works of my Father, if I do not the works of my Father, do not believe me. In other words, Jesus is saying, this is how you judge or weigh whether I am who I am. That's how you weigh and judge whether the God that you're following is the God that you worship. If you lived in Iowa and your house is underwater, you're supposed to be standing on the roof of the top and saying this as the helicopter news ship go by. The Lord giveth, point to the house, and the Lord taketh away. What else? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if the airship pulls off, without dropping the letter to you, jump in the lake and start swimming and say, praise him. If I drown, I drown. If I live, I live. You think they're going to show that testimony? No, they're not. Let me show you something else. Look at verse 39, John chapter 10, verse 39. Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, And he eluded their grasp right there. I think I wanted to get to, 17 and 6. John 17 and 6. That's the verse that I wanted. John chapter 17, verse 6. I have manifested my name to these men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Then he says, thine they are, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. That's how you know you belong to Jesus, if you keep his word. Now, I'm speaking with this guy that calls himself a Christian, and he said, all of us sin, don't we, Pastor John? I said, yes, we do. And he says, do you sin, Pastor John? I said, yes, I do. And he says, so you go to church every Sunday to get saved, don't you? No, I don't. He said, what? I said, I don't go to church every Sunday to get saved. Nor do I go to church every Sunday to holler myself out of my sin. I said, because that's what you're going for. I said, I got a question for you. I said, you're going out tonight, aren't you? He says, yes. Are you going out with somebody you need to be with? He didn't say nothing. I said, now holler out to Jesus when you're in the midst of that and see what he's going to say. I never had anybody talk to me like this. I know you haven't. See, and that's what the real church needs. But you know what? Let's come on down to point number two as we go to verses 4 through 6. Our Lord clarifies the reality of his calling in our lives. Verses 4 through 6. Now look what he says. Christ alone can make this claim in verse 4. We are his and he is ours. We follow him alone. He says, when he puts forth his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Christ alone can make this claim. Now, we only follow after the crucified Savior, the one who has example unto us how we are to live. This is how you can know you're following the true Christ of the Bible. Only what he says, not what your pastor says, not what a commentary says, not what a DVD says, not what a tape recording says, only what the Bible says. Only what the Bible says. I asked a question this morning about marriage, and I want you to think about this question, and I think it's a good one. I said, if a preacher had three wives in his life, three wives, and whether they ended in divorce, I put it that way, and the preacher's marriage to the wives ended in divorce, in the judgment, what is God going to say to that shepherd, to that man of God, about his preaching testimony and his career, and which wife did he love the most and hold and cherish in his heart? Know what the Christian told me? I cannot answer that question. I said, nor can I. Only God can. And I said, and I'm going to tell you something. Now do you understand why I won't even fathom looking at another wife?